Pastor A.T. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today. And my commitment is to preach sermons that are based on God's Word and sermons that are very practical. I believe the Bible is the most relevant book in the world. So open up your Bible now, and I pray God will speak to you in today's message.
You may be seated. Take your Bibles. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We are in the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And here we're beholding Jesus the evangelist. Today we're going to see how to know if you are born again. Now we're going to take this conversation and we're going to read through it. But I want you to know that a lot more was said during that conversation than what we have in Scripture. The conversation probably went most of the night. What we have is the Reader's Digest version. The Holy Spirit reduced and gave us the points that He wanted us to have. And as we look at it and pray over it, we can understand what the conversation was really about. Stand in respect for God's Word. And let me read, beginning in verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through him. And he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought by God." You may be seated. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, the leading theologian of Israel, comes to Jesus, recognizing that Jesus is no mere teacher, that he has the anointing of God on his ministry because of the miracles that he's doing. Now, Nicodemus, being a Pharisee, has lived under the works righteousness mentality all of his life. That means he thinks he has to do good things to earn heaven. He's been taught this. It has been the teaching in Israel for over 400 years that you had to follow all the laws of the Old Testament, and they had enhanced those laws to be 613 commandments. 365 were negative, you shall not. So he had to keep all of those, plus give all the different tithes and offerings, plus observe all the feasts, and go to synagogue every week. And he then thought he would earn his way to heaven. But Nicodemus realized this was not earning him and bringing him peace with God. He realized there was an emptiness in his heart, that he was really a hypocrite. That though he had all these outward acts that made him look so righteous, he knew in his heart he was corrupt. He had a burning emptiness in his heart. He knew there was a vacuum in his heart that he did not know God. After doing all these things, after being the chief teacher in Israel, he still knew about God, but he did not know God. He did not have a sense of God's presence in his life. And so he comes to Jesus because he recognizes Jesus has God's presence in his life. Jesus has something different. He has God's anointing on his life. And so he wants to know how he can have it. What does he need to do that he hasn't done that he can have eternal life, that he can enter the kingdom of God? And so he comes to Jesus, and Jesus immediately knows what's in every man's heart. We saw that in chapter 2. He knows what's in Nicodemus' heart. He knows Nicodemus' quandary. He knows his quest. And he immediately says to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You can't do anything to enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. That is the only way you can enter the kingdom of God. You've got to be born from above. You've got to be born by God's Spirit. He's got to make you a new creation in order for you to enter the kingdom of God. And this just blows Nicodemus away. What? You mean I got to start all over? You mean I can't count on everything I've done all these years and taken pride in to get me an audience with God, to get me acceptable in the presence of God? Jesus says, look, Nicodemus, the only way to go to heaven is to be reborn from above. And you can do nothing to cause this rebirth to take place. It is a sovereign, soul, complete act of God that he brings on those whom he chooses to bring it. And that's where we left the conversation last week. If the only way you can go to heaven is to be born again, and the only way you can be born again is if God chooses to give you the new birth, how can you know if you're born again, right? I think that's a valid question. Well, I'm going to answer that question for you this morning from this passage. First, we're going to look at Nicodemus, an illustration of a person who is not born again. All right, the three characteristics of the person who is not born again. First, he did not understand spiritual truth. Look in verses 9 and 10. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? Now, Jesus said that Nicodemus did not really understand the necessity of the new birth in order to enter the kingdom of God. He just couldn't understand it. It didn't make sense to him. As the teacher of Israel, the leading teacher of the Scriptures, he should have understood this. He should have known this. As we saw last week, the prophet Ezekiel, God spoke about this in Ezekiel chapter 36. Moreover, I will give you a new heart, God says, and I will put my spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to be born, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Nicodemus was familiar with this passage. When you and I, where we come from, having this side of the cross, we can clearly see the new birth in this passage, can't we? And then in chapter 37, he says, "Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life." Here the Old Testament clearly taught about the new life, the new birth. And yet Nicodemus did not understand it. He should have, but he did not. You know why? Because his mind had not been enlightened by the Holy Spirit to understand it. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 2. He says, "But the natural man," that's somebody who's not a Christian, "does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised." So you can tell if you've been born again or not by, do you understand spiritual truth? Now, Nicodemus knew the Old Testament. He could have given you facts. He could have told you who the kings of Israel were, who the kings of Judah were, which ones were good, which ones were bad. He could quote the 23rd Psalm. He could probably quote the first five books. Most of the Jewish leaders could. Most Jewish boys were taught, memorized the Torah. So he knew the facts. But you realize, you understand, don't you, that there's a difference between knowing the facts and really understanding what the facts mean. And the person who is not born again does not really understand the real meaning of spiritual truth. Not just the fact that Christ died on the cross. I mean, you can know that fact. But you don't really understand the real depth of the meaning of that fact. Because a person who is not born again does not have an enlightened mind, a regenerate mind, and he can't understand those things. Spiritual truths go over your head, the real meaning. I mean, you've heard the gospel, but it just doesn't grab you. Just, well, yeah, I guess that's nice. Jesus came and died and bore our sins on the cross, and he rose again on the third day. Okay, well, that's good, that's good. But it doesn't really grab you. I mean, many of us heard the gospel many times before we were born again. But when we got born again and we heard it, it was totally different. Man, I understand it now. Yeah, I understand he died for me, right? Well, that was the difference. So the unregenerate, the person who's not born again, first of all, you don't understand spiritual truth. Not really understand it. You don't. It doesn't really grab you. It's just, well, okay, I guess that's right. Secondly, Nicodemus did not accept spiritual truth. Verse 11, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen." Now, Jesus is probably using the editorial "we." "And you do not," what? "Accept our testimony." That word "accept" means to take hold of. It means to grab. It sometimes is translated "received." In fact, it is translated "received" in John 1. 12, which says, "But as many as received him," as many as accepted him, as many as took hold of him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Now, Nicodemus was not doing that. He was not taking hold of what Jesus was telling him. When Jesus says, "Your efforts to earn salvation are no good," Nicodemus couldn't take hold of that truth. He couldn't accept that truth. He was not willing to lay it down. When Jesus said, "You've got to be born again," Nicodemus couldn't hold on to that. He would not receive that truth. He would not accept it. The same is true of a person who is not born again. You hear the truth that you must come to Jesus by faith alone, but you don't accept it. You say, "Well, that's got to be something I got to do. It can't be that easy. And what's the catch? I mean, I've got to do something. It can't be that easy." Because you don't accept that truth of Christ alone through faith alone. The third, not only did he not understand, not only did he not accept, but he did not believe what Jesus said to him. Verse 12. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Jesus says, Nicodemus, you do not believe what I've been saying. The earthly things Jesus has been talking about is this new birth, something that you see on earth, being born again from above. He says, if you won't accept that, if you won't believe that, you'll never believe when I tell you about the second coming. You'll never believe when I tell you about the resurrection of the righteous. You'll never believe when I tell you about the millennial kingdom. You'll never believe when I tell you about the Trinity. He can't believe because his heart is still a heart of stone. Jesus assures Nicodemus, Nicodemus, I'm speaking absolute truth to you. Nobody has come down from heaven but me. In other words, Jesus is saying, I know what I'm talking about, Nicodemus. The one who knows all spiritual truth because he is the truth. The one who knows all physical truth because he is the truth. He says, look at Nicodemus, I'm not telling you something I read somewhere. I'm not telling you something I heard somebody say. I'm not telling you something I hope is true. I'm telling you what's true. Because I have come from heaven. I know the truth. I'm speaking to you absolute perfect truth. But yet, though his words were absolute truth, the unregenerate heart of Nicodemus would not believe him. The unregenerate mind of Nicodemus would not understand them. And the unregenerate will of Nicodemus would not accept them. So as it was with Nicodemus, so it is with every person who is not born again. Because your mind is not born again, you will not understand the things of God. Because your heart has not been regenerated, you will not believe the things of God. And because your will has not been born from above, you will not accept and believe the things of God. So that's how you can tell if you're not born again. First of all, you don't understand spiritual truth. You don't really accept it. It doesn't really affect your life. You don't take it unto yourself. And you don't believe it. All right, now let's see the positive side. How you can know if you're born again. There are two ways you can know you're born again. Two areas. First, your faith will tell it. Your faith will reveal you're born again. And then your life will reveal you're born again. Now, you got to have both of these things because the way you know your faith is genuine is your life shows it. You got me? A faith without works is dead. Someone has said we're saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. You understand? It is always accompanied by a changed life. Here we go. First, your faith reveals that you're born again. Just like unbelief reveals that you're not born again, true faith reveals that you are born again. Jesus says in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up so that whoever believes in him have eternal life. Now, Jesus is referring to the serpent in the wilderness in Numbers 21. You remember the story? Israel was carrying on like they loved to carry on. I mean, they were grumbling and they were upset and accusing Moses of bringing them out in the wilderness to die. And they were just belly aching. And God had just had enough. Now, you remember we told you God's patience is not everlasting. He had enough. So God sent fiery, poisonous snakes. And the snakes were biting them and killing them. And many of them died. And they finally came to the senses and said, we don't want this. We're sorry we did this. So they went to Moses and said, Moses, intercede for us. Somehow, some way, get us some relief. So Moses went to God and God said, okay, make a serpent of bronze, put this serpent up on the pole, and when someone is bitten, if they will look at that serpent on the pole, then I'll heal them. They'll be healed. And so Moses did it and they were healed. And so Jesus is referring to his crucifixion. When he says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Notice he says, so even so must the Son of Man. Now, must means it has to happen. It has got to happen. It is not something that's optional. He must be lifted up. He's talking about his crucifixion and how crucial his crucifixion is to the new birth. If there is no crucifixion of Jesus, there will be no new birth. If there is no resurrection, there will be no new birth. He would be lifted up on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for his chosen ones. He would be their substitute. He who knew no sin was made to become sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. The shedding of his blood was necessary for the forgiveness of sins. And he who believes in him will have eternal life. Now, believe there is more than just intellectual assent. It's more than just knowing some facts and saying, yeah, I believe Jesus was God's son. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he came alive from the dead. It's more than that. It's placing our trust in Jesus' death as payment for your sins. It's relying totally on him for your salvation. It's trusting that he did everything necessary for your sins to be forgiven and for you to have a place in heaven for eternity. He accomplished everything, and that you can add absolutely nothing to what he has done. Nothing. He has done it all. It is faith alone. Jesus is telling Nicodemus he had to reject all of his efforts to gain salvation through his good works, and that he had to believe that he was a helpless sinner, unable to save himself. Just as those Israelites in the wilderness were unable to cure themselves from those snake bites. They were poisonous. And the only way they could be healed was to look at the serpent in faith that God would heal them. He said, Nicodemus, you've got to come to the place you realize how helpless you are and that you can do absolutely nothing to save yourself. And you've got to look to me as your only hope for salvation. Place your trust in what I will accomplish for your salvation. You know the greatest example I can think of how works cannot figure into salvation? That thief on the cross. You ever thought about that? There he is, got his hands nailed to the cross, his feet nailed to the cross. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed Jesus was the king. Jesus says, today you shall be with me in paradise. Now, wait a minute. That thief, you mean he didn't have to give any money? No, he couldn't. His hands were nailed to the cross. You mean he didn't have to do any good work? He couldn't. His hands were nailed to the cross. You mean he didn't have to go to church? He couldn't. His feet were nailed to the cross. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't go anywhere. He could only believe. So when you think you can do anything to earn salvation, you think you got to be good enough, you got to join a church, you got to be baptized, you got to have a membership. Look at that thief on the cross. He couldn't do any of that, but Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the faith that a born-again person has. When you have that faith in Christ alone, by faith alone, that shows you've been born again. The person who has placed their total trust in what Jesus has accomplished by his death on the cross has been born again. John, in his epistle, carries the same themes about being born again in his letter. And we shouldn't be surprised about that, should we? Look what he says. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, your Savior and Lord, hey, that's a sign you're born again. Because your faith will reveal it. Their faith in Jesus alone shows it. You see, only a person who has been reborn from above can have that kind of faith. Because God gives them that faith when He causes them to be born again. Look over in Ephesians 2, passage we're real familiar with. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Look at these words. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Well, what's not of myself? Well, the faith for one thing. But he's actually talking about the whole process of salvation. It's not of you. It's a gift of God. You see, by grace we're saved through faith, and he even gives us the faith to believe. When you are born again, he imparts to you the faith to believe. Your heart is changed, so you have nothing to boast about. It is a gift of God. So the first way you can tell you're born again is your faith reveals it. Faith in Christ alone is a basis for your salvation. He alone is your Savior. You can add nothing to it. Secondly, your life will reveal it as well. If you're born again, then you will live differently from a person who is not born again. Because you have heavenly life right now. Person who's born again lives differently because they have eternal life. Verse 15. So whoever believes in him will in him have eternal life. Now let me talk about eternal life for a moment. It's crucial that we understand what John is talking about when he's talking about eternal life. All right, next slide. Now the Jews had a concept of two ages. The first age was this present age, now. The age to come was heaven. Now, eternal life is actually, literally in the Greek, life of the age to come. So when you read eternal life in John, what it literally is saying, life of the age to come. And what's the age to come? Heaven, right? So he says, heaven life. Next slide. Eternal life is not so much about the duration, the quantity, as it is the quality of life. Eternal life is about heaven life. The life of the age to come is heaven life. So for you to have eternal life now means you can participate in heaven life right now. That's what John is saying. He's saying you don't wait until you die to enjoy heaven. You can enjoy it right now. You can have that quality of life right now. Life of the age to come. Eternal life. Heaven life. Now Jesus defines eternal life in John 17. You remember that? He says, this is eternal life. Life of the age to come. I'll put that in there because that's really what it says. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus says, heaven life is knowing you personally, Father, to have a personal love relationship with you and with me. Now, heaven's not going to be about sitting around eating fruit and cherries and picking it up. Ain't going to be about 71 virgins, anything like that. It's going to be about loving Jesus more and more and more and more. Getting to know God in a deeper, deeper, deeper way. That old song, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. I mean, all of eternity is just going to get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter because we're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper in love with Jesus because we're going to understand God, the Father, and Jesus more and more and more, and we will never throughout eternity ever plummet the depths of his being. But we will learn it, and it will be fresh stuff, and it will be joyous truth. That's eternal life. Now, you can have that life right now. You can have as much of heaven right now as you really want, as you're willing to get to know God and spend time with him and love him more and more and more. That's what John is saying. And if you're born again, you have that eternal life. You cannot live like you don't have it. No way. It's going to make a difference in your life. You have heaven life. So the first thing, your life's going to be different because you got heaven life going on inside of you. So you got to live different. Secondly, Jesus says, if you're born again, you're going to practice the truth. Look at verse 21. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. If you are born again, you are going to practice the truth. That simply means you're going to live in obedience to God's word. Just that simple. Now, you don't live in obedience to God's word in order to get eternal life, to get heaven life. No, you live in obedience to his word because you have heaven life. Now, you see the difference? Your works come after you're saved, not before. Right? That's why you're saved through faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. You're going to walk in the truth. You're going to obey God. And John tells us in his epistle, partly of what that means is you're not going to practice sin. In 1 John 3:9, no one who's born of God practices sin. Right? Why? Because his seed abides in him and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That doesn't mean you're never going to sin, but the word practice, you will not live in habitual sin. Now, I know people that have grown up in this church. I've seen them grow up in the church. They're off now in their own ways in their lives as young adults, living like the devil. I mean in immorality, in the drunkenness, and they think they got saved here at church, folks. Well, according to this, they are not born again because they could not live in that continual sinful lifestyle if they were. The Spirit of God won't let them. He'll discipline them. He'll bring them back. And if not, he'll kill them. So if you're born again, you cannot live in continual sin as a lifestyle. Next, the born-again person will love God and others. Again, over in 1 John, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You see, there is no room in the heart of a born-again believer for hatred. There's not room in there. You got heaven life. Now, you think there's any hatred going on in heaven? You think there will be any hatred in heaven? No. So if you've got heaven life in you, there's no room for hatred. It's got to give way. Now, it may be a gradual thing, but it will give way. He who says he loves God and hates his brother is what? And a liar. Because the truth is not in him. So one of the ways you know you're born again is you love God and you love others. So your life reveals you're born again because you have heaven life and you live like it. You practice the truth. You obey God's word. You do not practice sin. And you love God and you love others. All right, let's bring it all to a conclusion. How can you tell if you've been born again? First, your faith reveals it. You've placed your faith in Jesus alone for your salvation. You trust that he has done everything necessary. You cannot add anything to your salvation. You rely and you depend on him entirely to save you from your sins and from the wrath of God. And then your life will reveal it. You're going to live differently because you got heaven life going on inside of you. You're not going to practice sin. You're going to obey God's word. That's going to be the desire of your life, to obey God's word, to submit to the authority of his word in your life. And you're going to love God and others. Well, what about if you're not born again? And you've sat here today and or you've listened through the internet and you realize, preacher, I'm not born again. From what you said, I am not born again. But then you said only God can bring about the new birth. What should I do? I'd plead with God. Oh, God, please give me the new birth. God, please cause me to be born again that I might come into your kingdom. And I would beg and plead with God, and I wouldn't stop until he did it. Does he not say, ask and keep on asking and you shall receive? Does he not say, knock and keep on knocking and it shall be opened unto you? Does he not say, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart? Oh, I'd say, seek God. Run after God with everything you got. Plead and storm the gates of heaven and say, oh, God, bring about that new birth in me. And keep on pleading until he does. And I know if you will do that sincerely, you'll find him. And you'll experience that new birth. And you'll find yourself believing, as we talked about, and you'll see changes go on in your life. Let's pray. We do welcome you, and I'm glad that you have taken the opportunity to listen to a sermon on our internet. And I want you just to know that everybody in the church is not like me. I have these fellows up here, our leadership team. This is Filiberto Medina, who is our Hispanic pastor. And our Hispanic congregation meets every Sunday evening at 6:30. This is Paul Kumar. He is our minister of community connections. And to my left is Mark Baker, who heads up our Reformers Unanimous Ministry, which is a Christian addiction recovery program that meets every Friday night at 7 o'clock. So if you live in the Mapleton area, and it doesn't matter what race you're from, it doesn't matter your cultural background, I want you to know you are welcomed at Westside Church. This is where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord. Hope you'll join us soon.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications and ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.